1 Corinthians 15, and read verse 31 and then verse 26. 1 Corinthians 14, sorry. Wow. 31 and then 26. We can read it all together. Amen.
For you
all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Verse 26. Yeah. What then, brothers, whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation, let all things be done for building up. In this session, in the second session in the mornings, we will be covering the practice of prophesying, or the last time we covered prophesying, we called the session a life of prophesying. I think these two go together. A life of prophesying and practicing to prophesy in the church meetings really are really one thing. We need a life and a living that is burdened and prepared for us to speak in the church meetings, for us to prophesy in the church meetings. And so we'll be covering this burden in these 6 weeks. And for these first few weeks, we will use this same outline. We're not going to cover the whole outline today. And this outline is from the recent numbers training, message 9, which we had, we reviewed this week, which was actually lesson 21, I believe, during the week of Brother Ed Marks's coming to New Jersey conference. So we never got to speak on that topic. So what the brothers decided to do was, after we finish week 24, is that the week I printed out for you there, 24? Yeah? Is that the week I printed, 24? Yeah. So after we finish that week, 24, we're going to go back and review 21. So we will have a chance to speak from this outline, and we'll be getting into it these few weeks, so it may help you to enjoy that this chapter. And so I'm going to cover 2 points. One is kind of a overall burden on the history of prophesying from Brother Nee and Brother Lee's writings, and then I'll just, if we have time, we'll try to read through Romans 1 and cover some of the points here in Romans 1. And then, the reason I've given you a Xerox of that chapter 24 is that next week, when we come back, I'll just share maybe 10 or 15 minutes again from this outline, and then you will practice prophesy. And you will be standing up one by one, sharing 3 minutes, prepare a prophecy from this. This will be the week that we have next week, week 24. So if you don't have a book, you can get a copy. And just, you know, enjoy some portion there and try to prepare something. I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end. But we brothers feel that if we're going to talk about this now again, we've all heard about this for many years, and yet Brother Lee and Brother Nee have mentioned this. We still don't have this fully implemented, or it's not solidly a part of our church life yet. So they both have encouraged us, keep pushing until we get through, because this is obviously Jehovah's burden that all of God's people would prophesy. And that's from the book of Numbers. So to do this, for us to have a normal church meeting, which is that all can prophesy, of course not everyone's going to share every week, but that meeting is full of God speaking through the dear saints. For us to have that kind of a meeting in our church life, we need training, and we need practice, and we need to keep trying. And we shouldn't be judging ourselves or judging each other while we're doing this. We're just trying to break through in this, because we've seen in the Word, and it's very clear in Brother Nee's ministry from 1937, the first time he spoke about this. And then again, Brother Nee in 48 spoke about this, that he was very burdened that we would all learn to prophesy in the church meetings. And it needs some training. In 37, in the Normal Christian Church Life, when he brought this up, the first time that I remember reading about it, that he called this one man speaking in the church meeting. Now, I'm going to distinguish the ministry meeting in a minute. But he called this one man speaking He called this the practice of custom of the nations. The custom of the nations. And in that book, he mentions that there is a difference between the ministry meeting and a church meeting. There's times when we need a ministry meeting. And he called the ministry meeting the pulpit and the pew meeting. The pulpit and the, you know, the congregation meeting. And he called the church meeting a round table meeting. Right? And that's why a lot of the churches set up their chairs in four square, a round table meeting where all can prophesy. And he made a great distinction between that. He said, the church meeting should not be a pulpit and a, you know, and a pew meeting, but they should be a round table meeting. But there are times when co-workers come, or when brothers come, and we have a burden to have a ministry meeting, and we need the ministry meeting. We need to have ministry of the word for us. We need to receive it. We need, and those who are gifted and have that portion need to practice that. So we need both meetings. And Brother Lee, in his reviewing of the God-ordained way to meet and serve, talked about these two wings, right? We need the church meetings where all prophesying, and we also need ministry meeting. He also talked about large meetings and small meetings. We need all different kinds of meetings. But what we are trying to recover is the normal practice when all the saints can prophesy in the church meeting. That's what we're talking about. So this first was brought up in 1937. Now we're talking about more than 80 years ago. And then again in 48, 71 years ago, that Brother Nee brought this up in his speaking and his writing and his training of the saints in China. And then Brother Lee realized this and also was burdened for this, but was not able to bring in more of a practice until he went back to Taiwan in the early 80s to study and to research and practice to eventually what we know now as the God-ordained way to meet and to serve, right? And change this kind of practice with us that we would have a prophesying meeting. And today, in most churches that you visit, when you go visit the churches on the Lord's Day morning, there is a prophesying meeting. And whether you think it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. There is one. The saints are learning to prophesy. And we're not here to judge one way or the other. But we are burdened to bring out this matter because, as you see in this title, that Moses' desire that all God's people would prophesy in Numbers is really God's desire that all men would prophesy. And not only you see this in the Old Testament, but you see this in the New Testament, especially the verses we read in this chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, when Paul is bringing out all these matters of the gifts. There are gifts to the church in Ephesians 4, and those are people. Apostles, prophets, shepherds, teachers, right? Evangelists, those are people that are gifted to the church for the perfecting of the saints. But when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, he's talking about all the saints, right, can prophesy. We all can prophesy one by one. And each one, as we come together, each one has something to speak for the Lord. And when we get into the outline, we're going to define a little bit more about what we're talking about. Not all of our speaking is prophesied. Right? Not all of our speaking is prophesying. We have testimonies, which is good. We have our experiences of Christ, which is also good. And they can be actually used in our real prophesying. But our prophesying should be speaking God into people. Speaking God, using God's word to speak Christ to people, to minister life to people, and to nourish them and to cherish them. When Brother Lee went back to Taipei to consider the way we're meeting and serving in the church now. and to go through the New Testament again, he eventually came up with these four points that in for the building up of the church, we need, number one, to beget people. We need to preach the gospel. So in the beginning of that time, he helped to train the saints how to preach the gospel. He used the door knocking to have the saints go out and learn how to preach the gospel to some people in their home and even to baptize them in their home. This was a great recovery in all of the churches. We practice that here. We've done that. We've gone out to preach the gospel. And now I hope that all of us especially don't feel that we need to invite, you know, Brother Ed Wrighton to come to our house to preach the gospel to our friend. We can preach the gospel ourselves. And we have gospel tracts. We have this marvelous tract, The Mystery of Human Life. And recently I met a young man or got to know this young man, and I went to visit him again a few weeks ago, and I gave him a copy of The Mystery of Human Life. And I was happy to hear that, oh, your wife already gave me one of these copies. And I've read it several times. So, you know, it's a good opportunity, and it's a good way to preach the gospel and help to lead people to the Lord. So we need to beget people. This is for the church life, for the increase. Then we need to nourish them, right? We all know this. We need to feed them. And that's by going to their home and visiting them and sharing with them what we've enjoyed, maybe reading the Word with them. But we want to feed them with the life of God, with Christ as life, through the Word, maybe through some other little booklets on basic lessons we can help them. But we want to feed them, nourish them. Then Ephesians tells them we need to perfect the saints. And perfecting them, mutually perfecting them in small groups. And actually that is this training, this perfecting training on Thursday mornings, is a part of that kind of perfecting. We all need to be perfected. And not just the new ones need to be perfected, but all the saints need to be perfected. And that takes some training. It takes some time, so we need to perfect them. But the last word, the most crucial one of these four, is the building. We need to build up the body of Christ. Help the saints grow in life for the building up of the body of Christ. And for that, the most important practice is that we all can prophesy for the building up. Why do we want to prophesy in the church meetings? So that we can build the church. We can build up one another. We can nourish one another. We can help one another to grow in Christ. And we can minister Christ. This is the definition of prophesying. To speak for God, to speak forth God, and to speak God into people. To minister Christ to them. To minister the triune God to them by speaking for God and speaking Him out, speaking forth God and ministering God to people. This is the meaning of prophesying that we are burdened for. There is an aspect of prophesying to foretell the future. And the prophets, especially in the Old Testament, there are a lot of prophecies concerning Christ's coming, when He would come, what kind of person He would be, what kind of life He would lead. That's right. That's very true. But for the building up of the church, that type of prophecy isn't so profitable. The prophecy of just speaking for God is what we're shooting at or what we're aiming for. Amen. So, in 1 Corinthians 14, it mentions the gifts, but Paul is very strong to mention in that chapter, actually both 12 and 14, that tongues does not build that much unless people interpret. The real building is for all to prophesy and to speak forth God in the church meetings. And this has to be our goal. This has to be our burden. We want to have the same desire that God has, that Moses had, that all His people may prophesy. And so we need this kind of desire. We need this kind of heart. And we should pray, Lord, teach me to prophesy. And not only that, Lord, teach me to be burdened for all the new ones that I'm caring for, that they would learn how to prophesy. And that we all could prophesy, one by one, for the building up of the body of Christ. You know, in this outline we have, in the training, Brother James Lee gave this message. And he mentioned a testimony that I had heard before, but it reminded me again when he shared it in this message. You know, Brother Hank Hanegraaff, who is the head of the CRI, Christian Research Institute, when he met the brothers and found out, wow, these brothers are real Christians, we might have this wrong, and they did all that research on us, and then they put out that journal that we were wrong, and they talked about how our teaching is very much orthodox. He became one of the greatest friends of the Lord's recovery. He himself, one of the things that impressed him the most is when he went to the church meetings and he saw the saints prophesying one by one. He was astounded at this. He was so impressed with this. And he told the brothers, he said, you know, I've read about this, but nowhere in Christianity do you see this. No one is trying to practice this. He said, this is the most important. And Brother James Lee brought this out in the message. Prophesying for all the saints may be the greatest point of recovery in the Lord's recovery. It may be the greatest point. Because once we enter into this and fully are practicing this and are getting better and better at this, prophesying, that will be building up the church, preparing the bride for the Lord to come back. It is a crucial aspect of the Lord's recovery. Not just the truth side of it. The truth is a big aspect. But also the practice and the experience of it. That is what will really bring the Lord back. We need to, as we're burdened to spend more time with the Lord every day. That's wonderful. And to spend the time in His Word. But what that should issue in, and what we hope that we can all be perfected to do, is that enjoyment, that experience of the Lord during the week, that enjoyment of these verses, of this point of truth in these verses, could become something that we can work on and write down and prepare a little something so that in the church meetings we could speak that to one another. And if all the saints are exercised to do this, I tell you, this will revolutionize the church life. And this will uplift our meetings, and it will attract people to our meetings. Really will attract people to our meetings. To see all the saints, one by one, prophesying, and regardless of age, regardless of language, regardless of ethnicity, speaking Christ to one another. My, that really will. But you have to realize, the devil hates this, so it's not going to be, it will not come without a price, and will not come without time and some practice. Now, you know, if you visit the churches and you see the saints prophesying, I think we all have to realize, even though you may see this in almost all the local churches in North America, we have to confess, usually it's the same ones who prophesy every week. And I, unfortunately, have to repent for this. Sometimes I just resign myself and say, well, that's just the way it's going to be. Well, I want to say here this morning, I'm praying that is not the way it's going to be. We need to be perfected. We need to be perfected. And we need to perfect others. And we need to be bold to stand up and prophesy. And we need not to, you know, worry about how we did or what we did or being judged. We just need to learn to practice and to have the heart that we would minister Christ to one another and we would feed one another. So right now, okay, we are practicing this in most of the church meetings. And we do have prophesying meetings. But we want to improve that so that more saints can function. And there are different ways of helping that, and we may be able to do that in the future, break up into smaller groups. Now we have language groups to prophesy, and that really helps, I think. I think it's easy if all the Korean saints can speak, because if you have 40 minutes and there's only 15 of you, it's easy, right? For us in the larger meeting, we have maybe 150 or 160. Of course, you're still only going to get about 20 or 30 to prophesy. But we hope it's not the same ones every week. We want to begin to practice that, break it down. But anyway, that's. And then another thing is when you look at our practice today, we may not have that, you know, they may be the same ones most of the time. But even so, of those who are speaking, not all of them are really prophesying. A lot of them are just some testimonies of their experience, which I'm not judging or belittling. That's very good, and we enjoy that. But that could be incorporated into really having a point, and to having a verse, and then you have some experience that goes along with that, that could really strengthen our genuine prophesying and speaking for the Lord and speaking the Lord's forth the Lord's word. And so we'll be having some help in how to prepare our prophecies in these coming weeks as we go along. Now let's come to the outline. I'm going to read to you the verse, Hebrews chapter 1. You want to look along with it, that's fine. First of all, let's read the title of the message together. Moses desiring that all Jehovah's people would be prophets. So you have a few points just in this heading here. One is being prophets. What does that mean? How can we all be prophets? The second one is Moses desires all God's people, right, would be prophets. Not just a few. And then this desire of Moses really comes from God's desire. God has this desire, and that's where Moses got it from. And of course, I mentioned in the New Testament, Paul also has this same desire related to the church meetings. Let's read Romans 1 together. Our God is a speaking God. This is a big point. Our God is a speaking God. You know, there are many people who worship gods, different gods. But most of the gods they worship are dumb. They are not speaking. And most of their worship of those gods is just so that God would bless them, or so that God would protect them, or so that God would prosper them in their business. It's mainly for these kinds of things. But the God we worship is a speaking God. Amen. And we need His speaking.
Amen.
So Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2a say this, God, having spoken of old in many portions and in many ways to the fathers in the prophets, has at the last of these days spoken to us in the Son. He has spoken to us in the Son. Our God has been speaking from eternity past. Actually, He created the universe by speaking, right? Our God is a speaking God. And in many portions in the Old Testament, and in many ways in the Old Testament, He's speaking through the prophets, and through many people in the Old Testament, but today He is speaking in the Son. He is speaking in the Son. How about sisters read A?
God is a mystery, but this mystery has been revealed by God speaking.
Okay, read it one more time, a little stronger.
God is a mystery.
Amen.
By God speaking,
He reveals Himself.
Amen.
I thought this is a very important word. Reveals Himself. He has been revealed by His speaking. Brothers, verse little one. Without the divine speaking, God would remain forever unknowable. How do we know God? It's by His speaking. It's by His speaking. We have His speaking so that we may know Him. All together on two. Our God is the revealed God because He has revealed Himself in His speaking. Amen. God has revealed Himself in His speaking. That's how we know Him. He has revealed Himself through His speaking. B says, every created thing came out of the Word of God. Genesis 1:3, right? The old creation, the whole universe, came into being by God speaking. I was touched by this point. I know it's a simple point, but it shows the power of God's word. By God speaking, creation came into being. The old creation, the whole universe, came into being by God's speaking. This is quite striking, right? Then two, the new creation was brought into being by the entire God speaking as the Word, right? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this shows us Christ is the
Word. And so the Word is not just the Father speaking, it's the entire triune God speaking. And eventually this Word became flesh, right? Tabernacled among us. And so this entire God is speaking as the Word. The speaking of God continues to do all things the speaking God continues to do all things through His speaking. Right? So not only He created the universe by His speaking, not only He is the Word who became flesh among us, but even now He continues. Right? He continues to do all things through His speaking, according to His purpose. And what does it mean that we would prophesy? It means that we would speak for God. We would join ourselves to God to continue what God is doing through His speaking through us. We become part of this. We become part of God's speaking. That's really the goal. Okay. Now, C is a very important point. Let's all read C together. The living God imparts and infuses Himself into us by speaking. So He's dispensing. He's infusing. He's imparting Himself by His speaking. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. How is He perfecting us? How is He completing us? It's by His breathing. It's by His speaking. He is imparting Himself into us, infusing Himself. When God speaks, the light shines, bringing us understanding, vision, wisdom, and utterance. All these, I would underline all these words. Of course, Psalm 119 talks about this, right? The Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The entrance of God's Word gives light. It gives light. We need God's Word. We need His speaking. And this Word of God that we need is not just the black and white. We need to enter into the Word and open to the Word and allow this Word to speak something to us at that time when we're with the Lord. Allow that black and white, that logos, to become rhema to us. That God would speak something to us through His Word. And then this light would shine and give us the understanding, give us the vision, give us the wisdom, and eventually give us some utterance that we could speak to one another and build up one another. All read two together. When God speaks, life is imparted. And this life includes all the divine attributes and human virtues of Christ. The Word is spirit and life in John 6:63, right? Life is imparted. This is the life supply that we need day by day. And this is the life supply that we need to speak to one another in all the church gatherings, whether the home meetings, the small group meetings, or the prophesying meeting. We want to speak life to one another. And then number three says, when God speaks, power is transmitted. And this is the growing and producing power of life. Mark 4 talks about when the Lord came, He came to sow the seed. And then the next verse says, He sows the Word into our hearts. Right? This sowing of this Word is powerful. It's powerful. You know, whenever I see these large trees all over our neighborhoods here in Queens, you know, we had that big windstorm. This monster tree fell over, you know, fell across the road, and luckily it didn't hit any cars in my block, but it cut our block off. When I went to look at that thing, I said, "How can such a tree?" And these are those huge trees, mostly are maple, that grow between the sidewalk and the, you know, so they don't, their roots can't go very far because there's just, you know, I mean, there's not a lot of ground to go deep because you've got electricity underneath, the gas lines are underneath the street, so So eventually when the root grows. But that was just a little seed, a little maple seed that grew into this great tree. Seeds are powerful. You know, when you see these seeds growing and then all the concrete gets busted up by the tree growing, you see the power of life. And this is power that God is transmitting. And this is the growing and producing power of life. And this is what we need. So we want to receive it. We want to enjoy it. And then we want to consider it. And how is that helping us in our experience? Then we want to write something down about what touched us and what we got this week, so that when we come together, we would have be prepared to speak something to one another. And that is prophesying, speaking God to one another. D says, in the Old Testament, God spoke in many portions and in many ways to the fathers in the prophets, in men born by the Spirit. So we've already covered that verse, right? Okay, then E says, in the New Testament, God speaks in the Son, in the person of the Son. Amen. As the Son speaks, God speaks. Of course, not only when he was here on the earth for 33 and a half years, his speaking is when God is speaking. But now as the Spirit is speaking to you and to me in our daily life, is still God speaking. He's still speaking in the person of the Son. Then point one, I think, is one of the more crucial points in this this first part of the outline. Let's read point one under E together. This person was first individual and then became corporate. This is hard for us to understand. We understand God is speaking in the Son and he's speaking in Christ as the Spirit. But this person, the Son of God, has now become corporate person. He has a body and we are all members of the body. So now he desires that we would speak. And when we speak, he is speaking in our speaking. So God is speaking through you. That is real prophesying. That is real prophesying. And that is what the Lord is after. That is his purpose. He wants many members to express Christ, to experience Christ, to be the testimony of Jesus. He wants us as the church to speak God to one another and to speak God to the unbelievers. That's the gospel. And he wants us to be those building up the church by prophesying. 2 says, God today speaks in a person. And this person has increased to be a corporate person, including all the prophets and all the members of this person's body. That's us. We are all members of this corporate Christ. And so we all have the capacity to speak this Christ to one another, to infuse him into each other, to minister Christ to each other. This is a big function of all the members of the body. Amen. 3 says the believers are all a part of the corporate Son. God is still speaking in the Son. You know, this morning earlier we heard that in God's creation of us, we have these wonderful inward and hidden parts. And I enjoy this point, you know. Why do we enjoy laughing? Because God laughs. These little parts, you know. And it's interesting. God speaks, and he created us with a mouth. To do what? Not just to eat. Of course, we have a mouth to eat, but we have a mouth to speak. And he's given us a mouth to speak because we're made in his image. And he's created us to express him, to represent him. And we do that by speaking. Amen. Then point F. The speaking God desires to have a speaking people. Praise the Lord. He desires. I have underlined this word, desire. So this Moses' desire that all Jehovah's people would be prophets is really God's desire. He desires to have a speaking people. There are a lot of wonderful verses there. Amen. You know, in John 1, the footnotes there bring this point out, you know, because in the beginning was the Word, right? It's interesting, Brother James Lee mentioned this. In the beginning, the Bible doesn't say was love. God is love. But when God spoke this, in the beginning was the Word. Word includes love, probably, you know. But he said, in the beginning was the Word. And then the footnotes talk about the Word is the explanation, the definition, right, of God. And one day that Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Then he, in the flesh, expressed God and was the definition and explanation of God. If you want to know the love of God, 2,000 years ago, you had to go to Christ to see what God's love was, how God loved people. Even the story we heard about the little child this morning. That's God's love expressed in this person of Jesus Christ and the way he fervently blessed the children at that time. And so today, he desires us to be this expression, this definition of God. He wants us to be filled with him and to express him, that he could build up the church through his continued speaking. Okay, so that's all of this outline I want to cover this week. So now I want to come to this practical, come to our homework, okay? Now we've got homework. You have this next week. We will be in week 24, I believe. Because we're finishing up the vision of the all-sufficient one, the divine view of God's people this week. And then next week we'll cover the necessity of spiritual warfare and God's people formed into an army ready for battle. Now the way this book is composed is helpful. It gives you the outline of the message from the training first, which some of us were in the training, either the video or the live training. And that outline portions are very, very important. And then on the left side of that, if you see your, notice your little booklet, it has what is covered in day one and day two. So there are verses here that are not covered in our daily reading. Those are extra verses you could get into if you have the time and have the time to study this. And then we have a portion of, we have some verses on day one, and in our morning watch sheet we have some additional supplemental verses we could get into. And then you have a little ministry portion. And, you know, in your time in the morning, you may do it this way, you may do it another way. But in my time in the morning, I like to be there with a little red pen or a highlighter or something. And as I'm spending the time in the verses with the Lord, something touches me, I just mark it. This touched me, this point touched me. And in reading the portion, either that time in the morning, or if I have enough time, or later in the day to read through the little ministry portion, again, I like to highlight something that touches me for that day. And then there's a portion at the bottom to write down something the Lord spoke to you. And I have to confess, I don't practice writing down enough. I underline, and I remember what touched me, but I don't practice writing down enough. So this week I'm going to join you to practice writing. Write a little something. Right. Because, you know, I'm sorry, I'm getting... I forget. I enjoy something on Monday, and then I forget what I enjoyed because I didn't write it down. And I attribute it to being an old person now. But anyway, I think when I was 35, I still forgot. We have to write down things, you know, and remember them. And then I've just given you a copy of the whole week so you have it. There's a hymn at the end you can enjoy. You know, conflict today is fierce. It's not an easy hymn to enjoy, but you may enjoy it. And then there's another section to write down something for your prophecy. So our assignment is to prepare the prophecy for Thursday morning, okay? And we hope that we would, you know, try to, you know, keep it within 3 minutes. And the brothers have helped us a little bit, and maybe they'll help us a little bit more as we go on. In our prophecy and in our little composition of what we write, we should write down, first of all, what is the point that touched us that we want to share with others? What is the point? You know, is the point that God is forming us into an army. I didn't have a chance to study much on 24 yet, right? Or is the point that, wow, God has an enemy. There's warfare. There's a necessity here of warfare. We don't like war. We like to be at peace, but, you know, the Bible says that we have to, right? We have to put on the whole armor of God because the church is a warrior. Whether we like it or not, we're involved in a spiritual warfare. Maybe that's what touches you. So that would be the main point. Then if you have a verse or two that would, you know, confirm that point from the reading, from your study, from the cross references, whatever, you have a verse related to that, right? Like, you know, our warfare is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers to strengthen that. And then how did the Lord speak to you? The last part of our prophecy should be, how did the Lord touch you with this? And how did it affect you? Maybe the Lord touched you that I'm not that exercised to, you know, gird it up with a breastplate of, you know, the girdle of truth, or the armor of God is there in Ephesians 6. I don't realize how much I need the shield of faith, how much I need the helmet of salvation from all the attacks. Maybe you have some experience this week and you can use that. And that even that testimony can strengthen the prophecy and strengthen your point that the Lord needs to raise up an army. And we need to be part of this army. And one way is to experience and enjoy Him as the shield of faith that thwart off all the flaming darts of the enemy. So this is a one little example of one way that we can compose something that we've enjoyed, that the Lord has spoken to us and the Lord has touched us related to whatever we're in this week. This week we'll be in these verses, whatever the church is in this week. And then we are going to then practice next Thursday. I don't know exactly how we'll do it. Maybe we'll give our prophecy first. And then we can ask the brothers to, if they have any pointers for us, to help us with our prophecy. It always helps to have a little, you know, positive, constructive criticism to help us with our speaking and with our prophesying. And again, as Ricky mentioned earlier, this is not just for the 20 or so of us here every week. We also want to hopefully help those in we're shepherding and we're with and we're close to, help them and share with them how we've been helped and help them with their prophesying, so that we can begin to perfect the saints in their prophesying in the church meetings. I believe the Lord has begun to do this work among us here in Hall 1. I'm very encouraged recently that many more saints are coming up to share, and I think it's good, but I think we can improve more. I think we can go further. I don't think we have all arrived yet. But we have to arrive, right? Until we all arrive. So we have to arrive. And some of you are in other districts. I don't know how your prophesying meeting is going, but we can always improve. And we can always encourage more saints to share and to learn to prophesy. So that is going to be kind of the format of our meeting. Either we'll share something first and then practice, or we can practice and then maybe I can share a little bit more from this outline for the first few weeks, and then we'll go on from there. Okay, so that's all I have for now. I want to give the rest of the time to you. You can share something that you've enjoyed either from the first session, because we didn't have time to review that, or from this session. Sure.
For this prophesying, we hope that this will be carried out, and if you go through the ministry, actually, Brother Lee talked about two kinds of prophesying. Two kinds. One is inspirational. Yeah. So it's inspirational. 灵感. Inspirational. So a lot of times you will read the material. It may not be exactly in that week's material or what you're reading, but you really get inspired through prayer, or got moved, related with some testimonies, experiences, and those actually, most of the saints can do. Mm-hmm. Okay, almost everybody can do it. Okay, mm-hmm. Because this is otherwise, if we use a cookie cutter, everybody it just sometimes just doesn't
right,
work.
Right, right, right.
So inspirational sharing with the testimonies, that part can touch the saints, encourage the saints. Now almost every saint, you can practice to do that portion.
Mm-hmm.
The second part is really more structured. Mm. More structured. But the thing is, a lot of times when we're talking about prophesying, we are more referring to this, more structured, some write down, mm-hmm. some impressions or experience. If we distill down, you need some basic elements. If you even 3 minutes prophesying, you may need a few basic elements.
Mm.
So if you have a pulpit, that kind of sharing, that's you got a lot of time. And, the thing is, if you have 3 minutes,
mm-hmm.
what would you say? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20, 30.
Right,
minutes.
Right.
So for us, it was 3 to 5, no more than 5. Let's say 3 minutes. How would you really, with one rich message, the brothers will speak 70, 90 minutes. So it's just almost like a tremendous monumental task. But if you really break it down, you can see the brothers, whenever they speak, they have an overall burden at the beginning. Sometimes 7, 8 to 15 minutes, overall burden. If you really comprehend that part, the most of the content of the message is already covered there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they go through the outlines and then trying to crack open more. You see, some brothers were mostly reading the outlines with time. But our meeting is not like that. But their learning is the same. For example, if let's say take a Monday,
right.
So next week Monday, if you read that portion of the outlines, of course you can go through the whole outline first. Just for that portion, what would be, just pray, Lord, what would you want me to learn from
mm-hmm.
this portion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If this whole week I only have time to study this portion, Lord, what do you want to speak to me? Actually, if you really pray for a few minutes, the Lord may not speak then, because you come back again. Really, if you ponder, mesmerize, think over a few times, many times, something will shine.
Yeah.
Okay, a word, a phrase, a verse, or some experience will shine. So the whole week, if you keep doing that, there are going to be 1, 2, 3 points really shine forth. So if you choose one point, you may have a lot. Let's choose one point. Really, you feel like, Lord, mm-hmm. would you let me to speak on this one point? I mean, if you feel peaceful, that one point. So you may use 1, 2, 3, maybe 2 or 3 sentences to define that point
mm-hmm.
in your word or in whatever you choose, the portion of the ministry, just well define the point. This week, we are talking about forming the army, journeying, and fighting. I want to share on the fighting. So just 1 or 2 sentences, you well define. Mm-hmm. She's a lawyer. That's where the opening words. Because the opening word is just a well define
mm-hmm.
your striking point.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we can have 1 or 2 verses. Many times the saints speak too many verses.
Yeah.
Okay? And you get lost. Yeah, the saints just cannot really follow you. If you choose 1 or 2 verses, just use that 1 or 2 verses to support your points. Okay, that again, this is a very, uh, uh, very uh, attorney-like. Because actually prophesying, if you read the book of Romans, Hebrew, almost even Ephesians, almost every book, if you really break it down, they use so many of these kind of small logics. Abduction, deduction, conclusion. Right? It's really doing that. So if you have one or two verses to use it, to open it up, to support the point, to really express your enjoyment, your impression of that portion.
Mm-hmm.
And then that may take 2 minutes already. And then if you add in my experience, you know, some time ago, this week or whatever, I really experienced this word. So add a little testimony,
mm-hmm.
either yours or your experience or some other saints. So this word is so real. I'm just giving you 1, 2, 3 punch, okay? So if you every time you practice this, or even write down a few words, let's say next week or next few weeks, but then it's going to lead us. It's just we practice a little. You could still speak inspiration. Even in this kind of prophecy,
mm-hmm.
you can add a little inspiration. No problem.
That's right.
But really, if it, at least in the future. You know, this week I did not get a chance to get into all the materials, but from my experience, I know what's a warfare like. That's the inspiration. You know, we can structure our prophesying, take the lead, even us, take the lead, set some patterns, and so the saints will learn.
Right.
The saints will learn together. You see, come back and say, so one kind is inspirational, the other kind is more structured. For the structured ones, define the small scope.
Mm-hmm.
Define that burden, that goal you want to talk about. Have the Lord, the scriptures. And if you have ministry words, you know, just add it in together. Just, this portion and that's fine. So add the scriptures and ministry. And then add the testimonies and to strengthen and to realize your defined is the word. And to express,
amen.
You bet the Lord will not only we speak of the Lord, speak forth of the Lord will enter into the saints' heart.
Amen.
So if we in the coming weeks, if we can practice a little, okay. Don't worry about inspirational. Fine, you can talk about inspirational. Actually, the church life many times. I don't know the percentage, but so many times, I got inspired by the saints.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily how much they can quote the Bible, how much they can quote the ministry, but just to see them, to hear them, to hear their testimonies,
mm-hmm.
you get inspired.
Mm-hmm.
So the inspiration and encouragement is a very big part of the church life and church meetings.
Amen.
On the other hand, we need a structured the teaching and everything. So if we do this, and in the future, these two may become very organically mingled together.
Amen.
So, even though we are in the church life for many, many years, so if we can, do a little more training, and we can more proactively or conscientiously doing this, I'm sure a lot of things going to learn. This time, we really hope we can have some teaching. So, because your brother Lee, when you're in the cooling training, here if you see Brother Lee's collective work, there's one volume. It's called a Spiritual Criticism. Spiritual Criticism. A lot of saints, if you read it, he was very very strict. Okay? Straight and strict. So to point out, he even talk about your voice, your dress, your appearance. And so when I first come to New York, Brother Timothy, we done many, many times with the Chinese-speaking saints in Hall 3 and a few other places. We have not done English-speaking saints other than the Bible reading.
Right.
We did some with the Bible reading, the constructive criticism. We be very honest within our capacity, with the love, how to adjust to one another, right? Just, you know, it's not for the purpose of criticism. It's a constructive criticism. So we will be with so much grace. So we need to overcome that, you know, because a lot of times, how do we present the word?
Mm.
There are so many factors could discount the word. Okay, the first time when he mentioned Hank, the first time Hank saw that was in Mainland China.
Mm.
In a very, you know, just very a small city, because they visited this saints, so they, because of their books before,
mm-hmm.
they were put in prison for many years. So they went to there to visit it in person to apologize to them. And then they joined their meeting. Saints are just, you know, I mean, old, young, it's all countryside.
Mm.
They all stand up. Again. By then, they were memorizing the outline.
Yeah, yeah.
They were memorizing the outline and prophesying. That took Hank's breath away. He said, wow, how can you do this?
Mm-hmm.
And so actually, that's one kind, you know, reciting. That's fine. But for us here, particularly the English speaking meetings, we want to become more leading, more testimonial plus scriptural.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do that, I'm sure that the meeting here or everywhere is going to be so much richer. Yes, that's what we hope we can start from a few of you and see how we. So, you know, next week we may help each other to, you know, what if you add this verse? What if you, you know, get the sequence, if you define this in this way? You know, so we let's learn together.
Amen.
You know, so if we can define and choose the verses, ministry, and add testimonies, I think that by the end, people will be interceding for us. Interceding for our attorney. So that's what, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
So, in a few minutes, go ahead. You can.